In summary, effective crisis management in rural areas relies heavily on both communication and contingency plan. So both are equally important. Communication is also important, and contingency plan, the actual action, is equally important. One without the other is going to be incomplete. A meticulously organized communication strategy facilitates the swift and efficient dissemination of information, thereby reducing confusion and enabling communities to make informed decisions, because decisions lead to actions. So conversely, a contingency plan outlines the necessary actions to maintain the supply chain and directs the community through the crisis towards a recovery. So when combined, these plans bolster resilience, diminish uncertainty, and empower rural regions to respond to and recover from a crisis quickly. Building resilience in a supply chain. So building resilience in the rural supply chain involves developing systems, strategies, and practices that allow rural areas to withstand, adapt, and to recover from disruptions. So we already saw that resilience is basically the ability to withstand any crisis with minimum impact and to recover from it very quickly. So more resilient supply chain, lesser will be the impact of a crisis on the operations. Rural supply chains are particularly vulnerable to a variety of risks, including climate change, economic instability, infrastructure deficit, and geopolitical issues, which we have been seeing all throughout. However, through proactive measures, rural supply chains can become more flexible, robust, and capable of managing these challenges. So some of the key strategies, you know, for making the supply chain resilient, we will see here. So one is diversifying resources of supply and demand, building robust infrastructure, adopting technology and digital solutions, building financial resilience, and developing collaborative networks and partnerships. Further, sustainable agricultural practice, building local capacity and knowledge, risk identification and early warning systems, and policy and governance support. So diversifying sources of supply and demand. So diversification is one of the most effective strategies for mitigating risk in a rural supply chain. We already saw this, that, you know, if you are relying on a single source for supply or a single market for supply of your products, then you are at a risk, and especially in the case of any calamity. So you need to diversify, and you need to have multiple sources for your needs, for your inputs, and for your outputs also, you need to have multiple markets, etc. Multiple suppliers and sources. So encourage the use of multiple suppliers for critical goods and services, including raw materials, seeds, fertilizers, agricultural products. This reduces the dependence on a single supplier, minimizing the impact of disruption in one area. Easy to understand. Market diversification. So this is as far as the supply or your output is concerned. So rural supply chain often rely on a limited number of buyer or markets. Expanding into a new market, whether local, regional, or international, can help rural producers reduce market volatility risk. So you find that in one particular market, the prices are really falling, the demand has really fallen. So if you are dependent only on one single market, then you are at a higher risk. But if you have diversified and you are actually supplying to multiple markets, etc., then you are to that extent resilient, and you can channel your products to the market which fetches the best possible price. So for example, exporting products to other region or countries can cushion the impact of local economic downturn. Building robust infrastructure. So infrastructure is often a weak point in rural areas. We've seen that roads, bridges, etc., and these are, you know, highly prone to failure in a crisis. So strengthening infrastructure is critical for enhancing the resilience in rural supply chain. Improved roads and transport networks, investing in the construction and maintenance of roads and bridges, ensures that products can be delivered efficiently even in the event of a weather disruptions. And increasingly, government is taking steps to, you know, provide this kind of improvement in the infrastructures. Even roads, etc., in the rural areas are being upgraded in many areas. So certainly, this goes a long way in providing robust infrastructure in the rural areas and for the rural supply chains. Storage facilities. We already saw this, that construction of warehouses, silos, etc., and upgrading them, can help a great deal in overcoming the economic risks and even the environmental risks. So building or upgrading storage facilities such as warehouses or silos allows rural communities to store perishable goods and avoid supply disruptions. So even having cold storage, etc., we saw in some of the earlier chapters that cold storages, which are run on solar power, etc. So these can be, very sustainable solution. At the same time, they can offer advantage to the rural supply chain in terms of getting the best possible price for their produce. So adequate storage helps manage fluctuations in supply and demand, allowing farmers to sell when prices are favorable and when conditions improve, so that you're not under duress to sell the product when the prices are very, very low. So if you don't have the facility, then there is a high risk that due to unseasonal rains, etc., your crops or your produce can actually get damaged. But if you have proper facilities, then you can actually time when you can push the product to the market. Water and irrigation systems. Investing in water storage and irrigation infrastructure is crucial for maintaining agricultural production in the face of droughts and climate-related disruptions. So we have seen that in Maharashtra, there are various places where they are creating artificial bunds or dams, etc., for storage of water. So the monsoon water, the rainwater, can be stored, harvested, and these can be used at least for most part of the year for agricultural purpose or even for drinking and other purposes. So different ways to build resilience in the supply chain: adopting technology and digital solutions. So technological innovation is a powerful tool for improving resilience in rural supply chains, enabling better decision making, improved communication, and efficient operations. So we have seen how technology can help early warning, up-to-date information about the markets, the demand supply information from the market, etc. You're well connected with the buyer, even the sellers, as far as your inputs are concerned. Mobile communication and data collection. So using mobile phones and apps can help farmers and supply chain managers share real-time information on weather conditions, crop status, transport availability. Mobile-based platforms can also facilitate market access, market information regarding the prices prevailing in the market, what is the kind of a demand which prevails in the market, providing farmers with up-to-date information on prices and demand. Adopting technology and digital solutions. Digital platforms for market access. So again, here we are talking of e-commerce and various platforms which are meant specifically for rural supply chain or farmers, etc. So digital platforms for market access, establishing online platforms that connect rural producers with buyers, wholesalers, and other market actors. This can increase the market reach, reduce dependence on middlemen, and ensure that producers can sell their product even during times of disruption. Because the traditional method, the middlemen, they made all the money, while the farmers, they got very little for their produce. So with this kind of platform, they are able to sell the product at a better price, benefit to the retailers and consumers, etc., who also get the product at a more reasonable price. Agri-tech solutions, the use of agricultural technologies such as precision farming tools, satellite imagery, and drones. So all these can improve the productivity and help farmers manage risks related to climate, pests, and diseases effectively. So we have already seen that satellite imagery can be used to actually estimate the yield. Drones can be used even for spraying, etc., because we have seen that in certain areas, the drones are used not only for surveying, etc., but also for spraying in insecticides, pesticides, etc. And all these different methods, including precision farming, things like, you know, the hydroponics, etc. So these can actually improve the yield of the farmers using minimum of resources. Building financial resilience. So financial resilience is essential for rural supply chain, especially when dealing with unpredictable risks such as crop failure, price fluctuation, or natural disasters. And here we saw that financial resilience comes, from microfinance, credit facility, etc. I mean, there are facilities like credit cards, which are offered by the government, which allows certain credit to the farmers on a low scale. Also, in addition to the microfinance loans, etc., you also have the insurance, crop insurance, etc., so that in case of a disaster, the farmers can actually recover part of their funds, or their impact on them can be partly relieved. Financial resilience, risk sharing mechanism. So encouraging the use of financial risk management tools like crop insurance, which we saw in the earlier point also, weather derivatives and hedging instruments. So all these can help farmers and suppliers manage the financial risk associated with climate variability and price volatility. Savings and emergency fund. So rural communities can benefit from establishing collective savings and emergency funds to support supply chain recovery during crisis. We already saw that during crisis, the cooperatives or the community associations can have certain emergency funds which they can use to quickly source the materials, inputs quickly recover from the crisis and to restore normalcy. So these funds can be used for rebuilding infrastructure, replacing lost inventory, or providing emergency relief. So developing collaborative networks and partnership. So collaboration and partnership between stakeholders in the rural supply chain can help build resilience through shared resources, knowledge, and efforts. And how do we do that? Public-private partnerships, so collaboration between government agencies, local businesses, and NGOs can improve rural infrastructure, provide training, and enhance disaster preparedness. So, for example, the government might support the construction of rural roads, because infrastructure is something that only the government can help in terms of roads, bridges, etc., because the expenses involved here are huge. So while NGOs provide training for farmers on climate adaptation techniques, etc. So NGOs, even sometimes the supplier of the seeds, etc., they provide training on how to improve the yield. So even private enterprises can actually support in the education and training of the farmers, etc. Developing collaborative networks and partnership. So farmer cooperatives and association. Farmer cooperatives or agricultural associations help strengthen bargaining power. We saw this in the earlier chapter, that the cooperative has a better negotiation or bargaining power when it comes to buying of the seeds, fertilizers, and other inputs as compared to individual farmers. And because they represent a large number of farmers and the requirement can be huge, so they are able to get a much better deal, and much fairer prices for the farmers. So the benefit of the collective bargaining is actually accrued to all the farmers who belong to the cooperative or the association. So association helps strengthen the bargaining power, enable bulk purchasing of supplies, and facilitates collective marketing. So even when you are marketing the product, the collective bargaining or negotiation with the buyers helps you in getting a better price. And also because the cooperative or associations may have a certain infrastructure which helps them to store the material and actually sell them at the best possible time to get a better price, also helps in this matter. So these groups can also provide a platform for sharing best practices, technological innovations, and risk mitigation strategies. Community-based organizations. So like we said that there are cooperatives, there are certain organizations which are community-based, which are specific to a local community. So local community-based organizations can play a key role in fostering resilience by providing support networks, distributing resources, and coordinating emergency responses. And basically, I put them both at par because cooperative and community-based organizations have similar kind of advantages or benefits in terms of collective bargaining. Sustainable agricultural practices. Promoting sustainable agricultural practice is a key to long-term resilience in supply rural supply chains, particularly in the face of climate change and environmental degradation. So we already talked about how the parali burning can have, you know, major impact on the environment, and avoiding this kind of a practice certainly helps in a big way in terms of improving the environment. So what does it include? Climate smart agriculture, encouraging farmers to adopt climate smart agricultural practice such as drought resistant crops, which we discussed. Even if there are areas, you know, where there is heavy rainfall and chances of flooding are high, you can even have crops which are resilient to flooding, etc. One of the example that comes to my mind is like Nilgiri. Nilgiri is a very, very water dependent crop, and Nilgiri trees are one of the inputs which are required in the paper industry. So where you have very high risk of let's say flooding, etc., this kind of crops can be used, which take up a lot of water. They are resilient to flood-like conditions, etc., because the crops don't get destroyed, and they fetch a very good price for specific markets, because Nilgiri also is used for extraction of the Nilgiri oils, and of course the wood goes for the paper industry. So agroforestry and crop rotation, etc. So even crop rotation, which is used to improve the quality of the soil. So when you have a certain kind of a crop being grown, you also grow certain pulses, etc., in between, which enriches the soil with the protein content in the soil in very naturally, instead of using any artificial fertilizers, etc. Soil health and conservation, implementing soil conservation techniques such as organic farming, mulching, and the use of cover crops, etc. So this we just talked about. Water efficiency, encouraging water efficient irrigation techniques such as drip irrigation or rainwater harvesting, very easy to understand. Building local capacity and knowledge, empowering local communities with the knowledge and skill to cope with crisis and manage risk. It's essential for long-term resilience, and this may include capacity building and training. So we already saw this, that the training is most important. Let's look at how we can do the capacity building. So provide training on topics such as disaster risk management, financial literacy, and sustainable agricultural practices. Knowledge sharing platforms, develop platforms or networks where farmers, supply chain managers, and other stakeholders can share knowledge and experiences. So this can be something like a social network where sharing of information training, etc., can happen so that people can learn from others on the best practice which are available in the field. Local leadership development, developing local leadership through training programs and initiatives that strengthen the community leader's ability to manage resources, make decisions during crisis. So it's also an opportunity to develop local leaders who will take on the leadership during crisis and at other times. Risk identification and early warning systems. So proactively identifying risks and preparing for them through early warning system helps rural supply chain respond before crisis escalates. So like they say, if you're warned beforehand, then half that battle is won. Because, you know, you are actually geared to face the situation rather than facing something, unexpectedly. So weather and environmental monitoring, implementing weather monitoring systems, including drought and flood prediction models, allows rural communities to prepare for and respond to climate-related risk. Early warning can help farmers protect their crops, adjust planting schedules, or prepare for flooding. So we talked about this, you know, that the low yield can be due to many, many reasons, can be unseasonal rains, can be, planting of the crops at the wrong time, or because of natural, factors. So all these can be, handled with the help of environmental monitoring. Supply chain risk mapping. So conducting regular risk assessment of the rural supply chain helps in identifying vulnerabilities in transportation, logistics, and other critical areas. This allows supply chain managers to make adjustments and plan alternative strategies ahead of time. We've already seen that that you need to have a plan A, plan B. What are the risks that you face? What are the vulnerabilities that you already have, and how you're going to overcome them? Policy and government governance support. Support from local and national government is crucial for building resilience in rural supply chain. So enabling the environment, governments can support resilience by creating policies that foster infrastructure development, improve access to finance, promote sustainable agriculture, and facilitate market access. Most important, we saw infrastructure, because that only the government can do. Yes, the other part also, access to finance, because there are various government schemes which are providing financial support to small farmers, etc., which the farmers can take advantage of, and also promote sustainable agriculture and facilitate market access. Crisis management framework. Government should also have crisis management frameworks in place that include plans for managing natural disasters, economic crisis, or disruptions in agricultural production. Already, most of the governments have this. This is mostly handled by the state governments. And whenever there is any natural calamity or a disaster, there is always a disaster recovery plan from the government side. It may not be sufficient, and that is the reason, you know, the rural supply chain needs to have their own crisis management in place. So this ensures that the support mechanisms are available during a crisis. So in summary, enhancing resilience in rural supply chain necessitates a comprehensive strategy that emphasizes the enhancement of infrastructure, diversification. So we have seen infrastructure in terms of road, bridges, for logistics, diversification in terms of the business, in terms of the inputs for suppliers, in terms of output as far as the buyers are concerned or the markets are concerned. So of supply resources, implementation of innovative technologies, fortification of financial systems, in terms of the credit facility funding, in terms of insurance, and the empowerment of the local communities. Effective collaboration, forward-thinking planning, and the incorporation of sustainable practices are essential components in fostering resilience within these crucial supply chains. So we have seen how these are having an impact on the risk management, on the risk mitigation, and building resilience in the rural supply chains. So with that, we come to the end of the chapter. Thank you.